there's the question of what does Twitter want to be? And I if Twitter goes anti-chronological,
10,000 characters they want to do, right? That's the next thing.
I want somebody to buy Twitter and give it back to the community. Like, give it, like, let the, it, this is not going to happen, obviously, but, you know, like, give the API back to the developers. Oh,
wouldn't that be nice?
That would be amazing. Like, if somebody wants to put, you know, their whatever, $20 billion, I can't remember how much it would take. But I have actually thought about this. Like maybe Bill Gates, right? No, he has more important stuff he's working on. Somebody curing hunger or something. Exactly. Curing malaria and fixing schools. So somebody buy it, and there's all kinds of billionaires that waste their money on all kinds of really dumb, irrelevant things. Buy Twitter and give it back to the community.
Its market cap is $13.84 billion.
Yeah. Okay.
It's expensive.
That's like 13 Powerballs, something like
it's
that.
It's less than WhatsApp. WhatsApp ended up being, what didn't WhatsApp end up being, $22
billion? Yeah. Yeah,
yeah, so, and it's still growing, crazy. Too. I mean, they're growing in years. So that's one thing that over Twitter. I think I sort of have a love-hate relationship with it. It's obviously
everybody does. You're not alone.
You don't have to use. Yeah, yeah, and there are you know, there are definitely important things that it provides. Certainly, anonymity being one of those things. I think you don't have to be a verified user. Whereas I think Facebook will move more and more in the direction of making everyone verified. And so I think there's like this. There's a part of me that likes the hacking aspect and sort of the shady aspects of Twitter, I guess. But I just don't think that they're commercially viable. Those aren't the types of things that make you a lot of money. And I think that Twitter as a company will see that in the long run. You know, people. I mean, there are other use cases that are important too. Shared screen experiences or dual screen experiences, watching live TV. I'm sure the Golden Globes right now are trending.
Oh yeah, I'll be watching the Golden Globes on Twitter. Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And
live
so those things
is
are
some of the best part.
Live snarking. Yeah.
Live snarking. Yep. Yeah.
Okay. Live snarking. Yeah, but what's preventing Facebook from doing something like that? I mean, in reality, Facebook can update in real time. You can actually share more meaningful information because there's no character limit. And so I just don't think that you know, Twitter reminds me of Groupon in a lot of ways. It's like it was unique at the time, but now a lot of people are doing what that company is doing. It's just not it doesn't have any unique proprietary software or coding behind it. I think it's just sort of, it feels redundant to me. It feels like
it's the live internet, though. I mean, the great thing about Twitter is it's the live internet.
Yeah.
It is live, and you feel it. And what I really love about Twitter, and what I've loved since pretty much day one, I was reflecting on this the other day, where when I'm not doing tech related stuff, I do a geeky podcast with Jason Snell of Six Colors, and we do a podcast called The Incomparable, and we did one on Star Wars: The Force Awakens, which, you know, that's just a recurring thing. But a couple hours after we posted it, we ended up being able to interact with people from Lucasfilm who are like, "Oh yeah, we listened to your podcast. We really like it. We wanted to compliment you on this." And like that's the kind of experience that you're not going to get on Facebook because of the way that the friending works. You might get like a comment or a thumbs up like from a page owner, but you don't necessarily know if that page owner is actually that person. It doesn't. Yeah. I don't know. I feel like spontaneous conversations is what I love about Twitter. That two people who have never met or don't know anything about each other can have a human conversation virtually face to face. And of course, there are some downsides to that. There's still a major harassment issue that Twitter has. But on the whole, it's a really great platform for that, for real-time messaging, for real-time interaction, for interacting with your readers, and for musicians and actors with their fans in a way that's not so... there's not so
it's
much
like
of
very
a
informal here. I mean, I would say that and I think you're right about sparking up random conversations, but you know, outside of the media, I think that most people aren't looking to have those types of conversations. Like if you work for a company and you're using Twitter as part of your job, whether it's as a journalist or as a PR person, I think that makes complete sense. But I just don't think there's a lot of value in having people tweet at, you know, their favorite sports athlete or you know, any type of celebrity. I think that more meaningful interactions will be available in the near future. We already have Periscope. We already have Facebook Live. And I think interactions like that will be more meaningful than like 140 character acknowledgement of someone's fandom or like, you know, just tweeting at Kobe Bryant and saying like nice slam dunk or something like that.
I agree with you on some respects because I think that most actors and most folks in sports are not necessarily using Twitter the way that a journalist might use Twitter. But I've also seen it in two very different communities. You know, before I was in tech, I was in the webcomics community, and that's a community that's continued to thrive. And pretty much any internet based community loves Twitter and thrives on Twitter because that's one of the major ways that you reach your fans and that you interact with your fans.
So that's a different perspective than I have. So that's a good thing to know.
They're uploading the video onto YouTube or Instagram and then retweeting on Twitter. So I just don't think it's like ultimately that great of a broadcast network. And I think even for things like live tweeting events, there will be better versions available in the near future when our TVs get smarter and when our homes are more connected. I just don't think the user interface is that great. So, you know, I do like informal discussion, but I guess I don't think that Twitter has figured out how to present the most meaningful information at the right times. And part of that has to do with their commitment to reverse chronological, the waterfall of information. But I'm a little bit skeptical about Twitter's future. I just don't think that they're doing enough to stay relevant, and certainly not doing enough to make their investors happy and make money.
So. It's so interesting. I totally love your idea, Jason, of let's just buy it back and open it up and bring back the API.
The API.
Because that's how Twitter got there. It really, and Jack Dorsey, come on, that's all you have to do. And I understand it's tough when you're a publicly held company because the shareholders are going to get peeved. But that is the only solution that makes any sense is let its users determine its future.
Yeah, it's so fundamental. It's like the dial. I love the metaphor. It's like the dial tone of the internet, right? Yeah. It is the live internet, and it's not that it shouldn't have some product behind it, but if anything was meant to be open sourced, it's almost like this thing I think could just thrive and do the kind of things that you know, that we're talking about. It does need to change and it does need to adapt and it does need to get better. And as, you know, other interfaces and mobile and things, you know, become more a part of the user experience, that needs to be part of it too. So I think the community could do it better than absolutely one company.
Absolutely. Well, the funny thing to me always about Twitter is I don't understand why they're not doing more with their potential analytics in terms of they have access to all of this public information. You know, it's Facebook, you have privacy settings and you have a vast number of privacy settings because you share a lot of information on Facebook. Twitter, I think there's a gold mine of information on that service that I know that Twitter does sell some of their fire hose to various services, but I don't understand why they are not the 21st century Nielsen, where they're like,
oh my God,
they have so much. They have so much data on television, on movies, on musicals, on shows. The fact that they haven't gotten some really, really smart numbers people and be like, let's build a program that essentially can sell all of this data, to people.
This is an example of why a privately held or even a publicly held company, actually especially a publicly held company, maybe isn't the best steward for something like this. This should be a public service. Because if you had an API and you gave the firehose to anybody who wanted it, somebody would build that.
Mm-hmm. Lots of people would probably build it. Lots of people. There would be all kinds of different things, you know, sentiment analysis. I mean, people are doing some of it now, but the kind of sentiment analysis is amazing.
Let's nationalize Twitter. Let's just nationalize it. Just take it over.
There's your title.
Let's not turn it political.
Well, but you know what? I think that's the solution. You can't. No. And I don't see another company buying it as a solution. I think it's to be a public. I think it's a utility. It's a public utility. It's like the dial tone. That's such an obvious correct thing to do.
Like, what would it take?
What would it take?
I wouldn't rule out Jack Dorsey opening up the API, honestly, because there have been talks about it in the last year or so, rumors mostly. But I wouldn't. Twitter has taken a very big about face in terms of the way that it interacts with developers in the last year. And I'm kind of hoping that eventually means
they're going to have to really step out, though, because developers have been so burned by it that they've really got to convince them that this is a genuine move.
That would be so gangster if he did that, though. If he just said, you know what, we're going to open this thing up and we're going to make it, we're going to become a platform again. And we're going to build stuff on top of it. And we're going to invite everybody else to build stuff, to build their own sentiment analysis, to build their own applications.
Doesn't that make it more valuable for the shareholders,
I think that
ultimately?
Makes it infinitely more valuable. Yeah. Infinitely more valuable.
Well, you would think so. Yeah, I mean, it's definitely a big assumption to say that like it will for sure make the company more money, but I don't think it's a far reach to say that Jack Dorsey would, you know, potentially open these things up. I mean, he's been a big advocate for the programmers and developers in the past. Certainly, that's where his background is.
It was Dick Costolo who shut down the third parties, right?
And getting the founders of that company to even agree on a single idea, I think, has been, at least from my understanding, a huge pain over the course of Twitter's lifetime. And so, you know, it's no shock to me that Twitter's having an identity crisis at this moment in time. And I mean, you know, Jason, you've made a great point. The more open that Twitter has been in the past, the more successful and at least more the more that I've been able to get out of it. And I think that that would make it way more attractive to me. And I think to more people, but yeah, you really just never know with these publicly traded companies. I mean, you know, consider MySpace and some of the discussions that probably happened around that after it went public. I mean, that thing tanked pretty fast. And you know, I would say that Twitter doesn't seem to be all that much different.
It's an interesting, politically though, it is very interesting because increasingly social networks are more than a private company. They're really about they're the social common ground, the commons. And they really should be treated as the commons because no one entity, one business entity should control them.
Remember when the Iranian when there was those protests in Iran and the U.S. government went to and Twitter was about to run a some kind of maintenance. And
the U.S. right at the
government
same time,
went to them. Said, several
don't.
Governments went to them and right. said, please do not. They're like, you cannot do this. This is one of the few ways that right. people and activists inside have to communicate with the outside world because so much of communication is being shut down. I mean, I think that was the moment that we all realized this thing is way bigger than what we originally
The kinds of steps Jack is taking so far, like the maybe increasing to 10,000 characters, that's not what we were looking for. What you were looking for is a wide open API and a fire hose that's available. Now, I understand the problem with having the fire hose available, that's the full stream, is that's expensive. Yeah. But I'm sure you could get, you know, support to making that totally available or just charge people for access, charge them a reasonable fee for access. Because there's so much value in that.
Yeah, charge them for the amount of data that they use or something. Yeah. I mean,
again, treat it like a utility.
Yeah, mm-hmm. It's like a dumb pipe. And that's what the argument that they'll say is that that's a dumb pipe, right?
Right. But
there's lots of dumb pipes that make a lot of money.
Dumb pipe's good. Dumb pipe is how you get innovation because then it's a platform, an open
people
platform.
People build on top of it.
Now what about Facebook? Let's talk about Facebook. You know, all the growth. And okay, so I'm, by the way, now deleting Peach because that's not going to go anywhere. But but Peach is trying to do is kind of conflate Twitter and messaging. And it's very clear that messaging is a very important platform. Mm-hmm. But I feel like Facebook is going to own this. There's not much we can do about it at this point. Am I wrong?
Man.
I'd love to see
so many of the users, you know, they're just they kind of.
Well, and that's critical with messaging, right? You don't want to. I used this analogy a couple of weeks ago. You don't want to buy a phone that can only call 10% of the populace. You want a messaging platform that speaks to everybody if possible. There isn't such a thing yet, but Facebook is the closest.